Psalm 145. Psalm 145 describes some of the attributes or character qualities of our awesome God. And as we have looked already, last week we saw the first two and pointed them out as the fact that God is admirable and that God is praiseworthy. Tonight we're going to be looking at two more. We're going to see how that God is great and God is mighty. Psalm 145, beginning with verse number 1, let's read down through verse number 4. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. As we begin here tonight, we see, first of all, that God is said to be great. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. And you know, anytime we look at a verse and you see the things, the first thing you need to do is make sure you understand the words. Okay? What does it mean to be great? Well, it's pretty much what we would expect. The Hebrew word literally means to be magnificent. Something that with increased size, power, or authority. God is great. God is great. And as I thought on that and pondered over it, I thought, you know, what are some of the ways in the Bible? How does the Bible describe God as great? As we think about God as being great, He is, first of all, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses here at the start here, so be ready to turn and look them up and it'll be a help to you. God is great in His extent, the extent of God. We think of greatness as something that is broader extent. He fills the heaven and earth. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Let's look at that. Jeremiah 23:24. All right, just pretend we're having a quiz here, and you can find it quickly. Jeremiah 23 and verse number 24. Jeremiah 23 and verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? God says, I'm everywhere. I fill the whole heaven and earth. I am everywhere. The extent of God, He is great in His extent. He is everywhere present. He is always everywhere at all times. We see also that God is great in age. He is eternal. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 33. And notice with me verse number 27. Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. All right, so he says the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He is eternal. He is everlasting. He is always there, and he always will be. God is eternal. So God is great in his extent. He's great in his age, but also God is great in size. I love this verse. It's a great one. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Isaiah 40, verse number 12. Isaiah 40, verse number 12. I should say that the Isaiah 40 is one of my favorite passages because of the descriptions it gives of God. It's an awesome chapter to study over and read and see the descriptions of God. But here in chapter 40, and look at verse number 12. Isaiah 40 and verse number 12. Who hath measured the water in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span? And then he says, who comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed out the mountains and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. As I memorized that verse, here's a little descriptions that I did for myself. All right. Who hath measured the water in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span. God can stretch out his hand and he says that's how wide the heaven is. And we know that the heavens, the scientists or astronomers tell us that it is so big that they can't even find the end of it. And God just measures it with the span of his hand. So he measured the water in the hollow of his hand, meted out heaven with a span, and he comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. All the dust in the earth can just fit in a little measure of God's hand. And then he goes and he says that he weighed the mountains in scales. You know those scales that tip back and forth? He weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. God is able to do awesome things because God is great in size, able to hold all the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand. Same chapter in verse number 15, he talks about how, behold, the nations are a drop of a bucket. And then he says that the isles are insignificant to God. God is awesome in size and greatness. And so God is great in extent. God is great in age. God is great in size. But God is also great in wisdom. He's great in wisdom. Turn with me to Proverbs 3 and verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 19. Proverbs 3:19. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding hath established the heavens. By God's wisdom he founded the earth, and by his understanding he established the heavens. See, God designed it all. He created it all and he designed it all. And you stop and think about that. You know, anytime I make a carpenter project, I always draw plans. Draw the blueprints. You know, when I built this pulpit, I drew all the blueprints for it and designed it the way I wanted it. And I knew where everything was going to be, and I measured everything and made sure it was all calculated right before I made it. Why? Because you get a better product if you do it that way than just start chopping and cutting. And yet this is nothing compared to the things that God has created. You think of the intricate cells in every one of our bodies, and the trees and the leaves and the different smells that he created with the leaves and the flowers and the beauty and the birds and the colors and all the things in nature. Just phenomenal. And God created it all by his wisdom. Yeah. By his wisdom. And so we have a God that is absolutely great in wisdom. Amen. Unlimited in his wisdom. Then also, God is great in intelligence. Not just wisdom. Wisdom's the ability to make right choices and right decisions. But he's great in intelligence. Another awesome verse, Psalm 147. Just a couple pages or a few pages from where we were there in Psalm 45. Maybe the very next page. Psalm 147. And look at verses 4 and 5. Great verses to memorize. Verse 4. He tells the number of the stars and he calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and great and of great power. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. The word understanding there refers to his intelligence. His understanding is infinite. There's no limit to it. There's no boundaries to it. It's unlimited. His understanding, his wisdom, his knowledge, his intelligence. God is great. So God is unlimited in his extent. He's unlimited in his age. He's always existed and always will. He's unlimited in his size. He is unlimited in his wisdom. He's unlimited in his intelligence. God is also great and unlimited in his power. He can do anything. Job 42. Job, at the end of his trial, he's come through all of the struggles and problems and trials, and he finally realizes that God had a plan in all of it, and as God kind of rebuked him for the way that he had responded, Job gives an explanation and a right response in Job 42 and verse number 2. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. You can do anything, God. There is nothing you cannot do. God can do anything. We sing that little chorus. God can do anything, anything, anything. You know, God can do anything but fail. God is absolutely able to do anything. And so we have a God that is great. He's great in his extent. He's great in his age. He's great in his size. He's great in his wisdom. He's great in his intelligence. He's great in his power. But he's also great in his authority. He's great in his authority. He is the sovereign over all that he has created. Psalm 103, and look at verse number 19. Psalm 103, verse number 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom ruleth over all. There is nothing that overrules God. God is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the absolute sovereign of all things. He can do anything. He is the absolute King of Kings over the entire universe. God is great. God is great in His authority. God is also great in His goodness. Again in Psalm, turn back to 31. Psalm 31. We see that God is great in His goodness. Psalm 31 and verse number 19. Psalm 31 and verse number 19. Psalm 31, 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of man. God is great in goodness. The goodness of God. The good things He does. He is great in goodness. We often take for granted the goodness of God. He is so good to us. We have so much of the goodness of God. But God is also good in great in faithfulness. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah. Lamentations and chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Got Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Lamentation. Lamentations chapter 3. Little tiny book there stuck in between Jeremiah and Daniel. Lamentations chapter 3. And look at verse number 23. Lamentations 3:23. They are new every morning. Well, let's just read verse 22 so you get the context. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. He's always there. He's always dependable. You can always depend on God. He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is always faithful. And we can always depend upon Him. And, you know, in times when we feel like, God, You're just not helping me this time. What's happening? What's wrong? God is faithful. We may not understand, but God is faithful. He is faithful because of His very character. It's part of His nature. Remember, we said last week that these attributes are not just outward characteristics, but they're that which is innate to their nature. It is part of them. God is faithfulness. God is goodness. God is great. God is great in all of these things. And these are part of His very nature. Certainly not true of us. We may be faithful some of the time, but it's not part of our very nature. It's not what is part of our makeup. But God is. God is always faithful, so we can always depend on Him. One last one, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and found in the New Testament, of course. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 2, and verse number 4. We see here both the mercy and love of God are great. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. He's rich in mercy and His great love wherewith He loved us. So God is great in mercy and great in love. And we could go on and on. There's many other things that we could point out in the Scriptures. These are just 10 of them that I chose to kind of elaborate on the subject. But you can search through and you can find many others of examples of things that God is great in. He is unlimited in these things. So you think about this. He is unlimited in His extent. He's everywhere present. There's no limit to where God is. He's always with us. He's unlimited in His age. God has always existed. There's no other being in the entire universe that has always existed, but God has. And God will always exist. And so He is unlimited in His age. He's unlimited in His size. He's so big that He fills the universe. And He's able to hold the world in the palm of His hand. And He's unlimited in His wisdom, unlimited in His intelligence. He's unlimited in His power, His authority, His goodness, His faithfulness, His love, and His mercy. God is great. God is great. And so what we need to do, we need to see here that God has no rivals. There are no rivals, no one that even comes close to rivaling God. God is absolutely great and greatest of all the beings. And I think that a few chapters in the book of Job that would do your heart good if you haven't read them recently is Job 38 to 41. These are those chapters where God says to Job, hang on, Job, let me tell you about a few things. Let me ask you a few questions. And God asked Job a whole bunch of questions about about creation and about nature and about who feeds the birds and who takes care of the ravens and who taught the, you know, the ostrich to stick her head in the ground. Who taught the ostrich to lay her eggs in the sand and walk off and leave them? Who did all these things? Who feeds her these things? Who does all... God says, it's me, not you, Job. It's me. I did it, all these things. I am unlimited in all of these things. And as you read those chapters, it just gives you a sense of the greatness of God. God is great in every aspect. And He is greater than all these beings that He created. And He is over all these things. He has created them all. God is great. Now, the thing that we need to understand and remember, we know it in our head, but we need to absolutely remember, God is greater than any sports team you will ever watch. God is great. You know, people carry on. They go to a sports event, and I've done that, been there. You know, our team's winning, and we jump up and down. We're hooting and hollering and ratting and raving. Because my team's winning. Woo, they just hit a run. Woo, they just did a good thing. When's the last time we ever did that with God? I said, God, you're awesome. Look what you did, God. That was great. Thank you, God. That was wonderful. That was great. You are such a blessing to me, God. Thank you for meeting that need. We sometimes pray and say, God, would you please get me out of this mess? And He does, and we just say, oh, that was nice. What happened to, thank you, God. That was great. You did exactly what you said you'd do. That was wonderful. Thank you, God, meeting that need. Thank you. And we get excited about it. You know, we can get excited about the dumbest things in life, and we fail to get excited about the God of the universe that does so much for us. God is great. And we need to tell Him that. God is greater than our children. You know, sadly, some parents put their children above God. They praise their kids. They honor their kids. And I'm not saying we shouldn't take good care of our kids. But God's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is above all. And you know, we can praise our kids, but we better praise God a whole bunch more than we praise our kids. Because God is the greatest of all the beings in the universe. God is great. God is great. God is great. And we need to emphasize that and make sure that our children know that. And we'll see that in just a moment. God deserves praise because He is great. And that praise needs to come from our heart. It needs to be sincere. It needs to be frequent. And it needs to be expressed. God, you're great. Thank you for your greatness. This morning I mentioned one of the Psalms that I was reading, and the psalmist, he said, I will praise the Lord with my song. And he said, I'm going to sing praises to God because of what God has done for me. And he said, God has helped me. God has met my needs. He was my strength. He was my shield. He was my helper. And He met my need. God, I praise you and I thank you for what you've done. That's what we need on a regular basis. That's what I need on a regular basis, to praise God. God, thank you for what you've done. You've been great to me. You've met these needs in such an awesome way. One of the ways that we will see the greatness of God is by meditating on it. To meditate on it. To think about it. To actually lay on your pillow at night and think about God and His greatness and the great things that He's done. The wonders of nature. The great things He's done in your life. The great ways that He's met your needs. The great things that God has done down through the centuries. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Think about God. And you know, the better you know the Scriptures, the more you're going to have to meditate on. You know, that doesn't take a genius to figure that out. If you know 3 Bible verses, you've only got 3 to meditate on. But if you know a whole bunch of the Scripture, you've got lots to meditate upon. And so the more we know the Scripture, and that's one of the reasons we have these quiz time. It isn't just for fun. We have the quiz time to get you to understand the Scriptures and hopefully to motivate you to read the Scriptures with eyes of observation, so you're observing and absorbing what you're reading. We need to be in the book. Meditate upon the Scriptures. And notice how he finishes up. Let's go back to Psalm 145. If you've been like me, I've closed my Bible there. So let's go back there. Psalm 145. And he says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Not just a little, but greatly to be praised. He is to be praised in all ways because He is great. And then he says, and His greatness is unsearchable. What does he mean by that? It's unsearchable. It's beyond all capable of being searched. It's beyond God's greatness is so extensive that you'll never find the end of it. You can keep looking and looking and looking for the greatness, the end of the greatness of God. You'll never find the end of it because it is so great. It's just kind of like the stars, but it's greater than the stars because He created all the stars. But the scientists and the astronomers, every time they get a bigger telescope, they find more stars. And they get a bigger one, they find more stars. And further out there, and they get a bigger one, they get to find more stars. They can't find the end of it all. But God knows the end of it all because He can measure it with the span of His hand. God is bigger than all of that. And God is so big, you'll never, ever be able to find the end of the greatness of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how great, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." God is great. God is great. But then we find in the next verse that God is mighty. God is mighty. Verse number 4, "One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts." We are to praise God both for His works and for His mighty acts. Once again, define the words. The word works there describes the works or deeds of God, the things that He has done. This is a pretty general term. It refers to all the things that God has done. Now, most of the things that God has done, we would consider as mighty acts. They were awesome. They were great. But some of them evidently were specifically more mighty in emphasis, or at least more mighty in our viewing than others. And so He declares both of them here. He talks about God's works, and He talks about His mighty acts. And He seems to distinguish them. You know, as I thought about these things and looked over some of the things that God did in scriptures. And I thought, you know, some of the things that might be considered His works that were, I mean, obviously, like I said, all of His works are mighty acts. But some of them that maybe we wouldn't look at and say, "Whoa, that was awesome." You know, things like when God, at Babel, how God changed the languages. I mean, that was significant. That was awesome. I mean, nobody else could have done that. But we don't usually look at that and say, "Whoa, look what God did. That was great. That was awesome." But it was great. But it was one of those works of God that are there that describes what He is and what His character is. Maybe His guiding of Abraham to Canaan. You know, how God guided him. He was in Ur of the Chaldees. And He said, "I want you to go up to Haran." He went up to Haran, spent some time there. Dad died. And a few years later, He says, "All right, I want you to go down to Canaan." Didn't know where He was going. He headed down to Canaan. God guided him. Now, the hand of God was in all of that. And certainly, it was a mighty act of God. But, again, it wasn't something that just stands out as spectacular in our minds. But these are the works of God. And the way that He protected and elevated Joseph. You think about that story. Here's Joseph, 17-year-old boy, sold by his brothers to his slave traders, carried off to Egypt. And this whole time, Joseph's thinking, "What is going on? God, what is happening here? What's?" And he gets down to Egypt. He's bought by Potiphar. He works for Potiphar, and he's a good slave there. He gets kind of promoted because of his good behavior as a slave. Then he gets accused of being immoral, ends up in prison, and spends more than 2 years in prison. Finally, he gets out of prison, and God elevated him to the place of prime minister of Egypt. Now, you look at all that and think, well, God's hand certainly was in there. That was a great thing that God did. But again, it wasn't one of those things that kind of explodes in your face as something really great and awesome. So, probably one of those, the works of God. David's victory over Goliath, certainly a great work of God. Oh, the young man, probably not a little boy, but a young man, Gerard's age maybe, taking on this giant of a man who was much bigger than him, much stronger than him, much more military than him, and God gave him the victory. You know, the Bible is full of stories that include the works of God, all the things that God has done. But then he says, talks about the mighty acts of God. And though they're overlapping, though they're many times synonyms, for each other, the works of God and the mighty acts of God, there are some that really stand out in our minds as spectacular. You know, I will never, ever fully comprehend, until we get to glory, creation. Creation is just awesome. To think that God spoke everything into existence, and the details, and the intricacy, and how that it all works together so phenomenally, and it repairs itself, And when you get sick, you can get well. And you know, all the things that we're involved in, it wasn't just making this little robot that I can push the buttons and make him do what I want. It's far more than that. And it's not just one, but you got the trillions of different things in nature. And all that, God's creation is one of those mighty acts that was just so phenomenal. And anybody that tries to believe in evolution and says that it all happened by a big accident and a bunch of explosions and a bunch of accidental events, boy, they got more faith than I got. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But to believe that an awesome God spoke the word and says, yeah, I want one of those. We'll have one of those. We'll have a little hummingbird that can flap his wings at a phenomenal speed and stand up, and he can go frontwards and backwards and up and down all by himself without any kind of hesitation. Yeah, I'll have one of those. And I'll have an eagle that can fly way up into the sky and soar, and then he can dive down at tremendous speed and grab a fish out of the water. I mean, God did all that. He did so many awesome things in creation. So creation is certainly one of those examples. He did it in 6 days. He made man in his image. He made man out of dust. He gave man life. That alone is awesome. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image God created him, male and female created him. Chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man can't find out what makes life. They can make things that look like real, but they can't give a life because God is the source of life. God can do that. Awesome things that God did. So, and then he commands what he created. He stretched out the heavens. You know, not only did he speak the stars into the sky, but he stretched out the heavens and made them massive in size. And he preserves them all. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 9 says, or maybe it's 9:6, one of those two. And he did all these things, and all of it for his glory. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure, then they are and were created. God did it all. God did it all. So the greatness of God in creation. Then there's the flood. There's another awesome event. I love the events of the flood because there's so much evidence of it all around us in geology and the strata and all of that that are left behind after the flood. And the flood was deep. The flood was global. The flood was destructive. The ark was protective and safe. There was protection for Adam or for Noah and his family in the ark. They came out alive, and God preserved life, and man multiplied and replenished the earth. God did all those things through the flood, all those great events. And then there's the Egyptian plagues we're going to be looking at in a few weeks on Wednesdays. The blood, frogs, lice, flies, murrain, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and firstborn. All those things that God did to show his power over Egypt. God is great. God is mighty. God is a mighty God. And then there's the Red Sea. Would have been an awesome thing to be there that day. Moses stretched out his rod over the Red Sea. And I don't know whether he touched or he hit it, but he put his rod over the Red Sea. All of a sudden, the waters split in half and the winds blew and it pushed the waters side by side and made big walls on the sides and dried the ground dusty dry. And they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground while the waters were heaped on the sides. And they got to the other side and the Egyptians started to cross. And God says, all right, close it up. And closed up that water on the Egyptian, coming crashing in on them, and they all died. Awesome power. Awesome power. Absolutely impossible with man. The manna that God gave. 40 years, people eating the manna in the wilderness. Every morning you wake up, the manna's all over the ground. You go out and pick up the manna that you need for the day. And if you picked up too much, it would rot. God'd get mad at you. You pick up just the need for one omer for each of your members of your family. You take it to the house and have all the food you needed. It was nutritious. It met your need. It kept you full. You never had any extra, never had any want. You always had enough. And for 40 years, God met the needs of over 3 million people in the wilderness with manna. God was awesome. The fire that came down from heaven from Elijah's sacrifice. He prayed a short little prayer after the heathens had danced on their altar and cut themselves with knives and screamed and hollered for Baal all afternoon and all morning and all afternoon and couldn't get anything. Elijah simply puts it all together, pours water over, 12 barrels of water over the thing so it was drenched, wet, water running all over the place. And he prays a small little prayer. Bang! God sends down fire from heaven and burned it all up, including the rocks. nothing left but a hole in the ground. God's mighty power. God is powerful. Then there's the fiery furnace. The three Hebrew boys. Not really boys, the young men. Thrown into the fiery furnace so hot that the soldiers that threw them in died of heat exhaustion by getting close enough to the fire to throw them in. And these guys walked around inside. God protected their lives. Awesome power. Awesome mighty work of God. Then there's the mighty work of God in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Dead. 3 days. Rose from the dead. Alive. Not just alive, but immortal alive. Awesome. Mighty work of God. There was Peter's deliverance from prison. Acts chapter 12. Peter's guarded by 16 soldiers. God puts them all to sleep. Sends the angel in. Opens all the doors. Peter walks out. And goes free. Sadly, the soldiers were all executed for letting him out. But they didn't let him out. God let him out. Mighty act of God. A mighty act of God. There's the protection from the devil that God gives us. Ephesians chapter 6. The armor. God says, put on the whole armor of God. Faith. Righteousness. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. All of these are things that God gave us. And He says, if you will put them on, how do we put them on? Study the Scriptures and spend time with God. And stay close to God. And you can wear those pieces of armor as protection. And God says, it will protect you from the devil. It's awesome power. Now, these are just a few examples. The Bible is full of it from beginning to end of the mighty acts of God. And He says here, this is the thing that really stuck in my mind here. And catch this one. I'm not a real big one for tradition. Maybe it's just my weird ways. But some people have heaps of tradition. But God tells us here, here's a tradition you need in your family. God tells us right here. Look at it again. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. God says, here's a tradition you need in your family. Dad needs to teach the children the mighty acts of God. Grandpa needs to teach the grandchildren and his children and the grandchildren the mighty acts of God. And you need to pass it on from generation to generation. This is a tradition you better not let go in your family. He says you need to teach this, to pass it on from generation to generation, from one generation to the next, and to praise or to boast of God and declare or to make known who God is and these mighty acts of God. So what is God telling us here? We all need to be involved in this. This is a tradition that every family needs. We need to be passing on the great acts of God. Now that doesn't mean, all right, now kids, we're going to have a little Bible story here. Let's talk about David and Goliath. And you know, yes, that's important, but it's far more than that. Why? What was he saying? You need to point out the mighty acts of God. You know, a lot of children know stories in the Bible. They say, oh yeah, I know David and Goliath. I know, you know, Cain killed Abel and Adam and Eve ate the fruit. And, you know, they know the basic story. But what about the mighty acts of God and all of that? He says, we're going to be looking at the mighty acts of God. And we ought to regularly think about the mighty acts of God. And a good time to do that is during our family Bible time. If you don't have a family Bible time, you need a family Bible time. A time when you sit down the family together on a regular basis, preferably every day. You sit down, evening is the best most of the time. And you sit them down and we're going to have, all right, 15 minutes, we're going to talk about God. We're going to learn some things from the Bible. And one of the things you can do, here's something that I think can be of great help to you, is if you take and start making a list of the mighty acts of God. Start in the book of Genesis. And just go through a page after page, flip over the pages, and look for the mighty acts of God. Make a list of them, write down the references of them, and then each day have the children take turns and tell about the mighty act of God. And don't let them tell the story without emphasizing the mighty act of God. It isn't just that, oh yeah, David killed Goliath. What was the mighty act of God in that? God gave David the power to do that. The giant was huge. God put that ability in him. God gave him the ability to aim that stone and hit the giant between the eyes. God gave him that ability to conquer that. And every story you look at, you emphasize the mighty act of God. And so make yourself a list. Go through these things. But always, always, always focus on the mighty acts of God in each one of the stories and emphasize that. And so when you're going through the story, you ask the children, what mighty act of God is in this story? You know, you read about Daniel in the lion's den. What mighty acts are in the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Well, God protected him. Their protection of God. Daniel's faith in God. How God was always faithful. Daniel laid it in his hand. You know, you can go see that. You examine the story. You pull it apart. You look at all the details. But you always emphasize the greatness of God's might. Because God was in... The only reason God put these stories in the Bible wasn't to entertain us. It wasn't so we'd have a good thing to read to the kids at bedtime. It was so that we could see His greatness. Who is God? God is great. God is great. And then also, be sure to identify principles of the greatness of God in every story. You know, what is a principle? I identified this a couple of years ago. I defined it. That's the word I was looking for. I defined this. A principle is a timeless truth or guideline that reveals the mind of God on contemporary issues. It is a timeless truth or guideline that reveals the mind of God on contemporary issues. Now, what do I mean by that? You read a passage of Scripture, and let me give you an example. Let's go over to Isaiah 40, a chapter I told you I liked. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Just turn with me there, and I want to point out some things and show you what I'm talking about here. Isaiah chapter 40, and look at verse number 26. Isaiah 40, and verse number 26. Isaiah 40, 26. Now you're looking for a principle here. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who is it talking about? It's talking about God. What is he talking about? He's talking about the stars. He says, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who has created all those things? God is the creator of all things. God is great. God is powerful. Now, what kind of principle can I get that will stick with me and help me and my children in this verse? Well, here's something to think on. God sees and knows all about me. God sees and knows all about me. If God sees the stars and He knows all of them by name, He certainly knows me. And He certainly knows you. And so you look for principles. Look for things about God that you can apply to today. That can help you today. Daniel, when he was in that den of lions, he prayed daily because God was worthy of his prayer. He had devotion toward God because God was great to him. It was important to him. So there's the greatness of God. God protected him. God was faithful over him. God was mighty to deliver him. God deserves glory in all of that. See, you just examine the verse. Look for principles. What can I learn about God that can help me today in my daily life? And what can help my children in their day-to-day activities to be able to do right? You look for these things and you teach them so that when they learn the story, they don't just learn that David killed Goliath. You see the power of God in that. You see how David was protected by God, how David was trusting God, and how God met his needs, and how God delivered him, and how God gave him victory, and God delivered him from that great huge giant, and God can do the same for you. All right? So these are the principles. Now, when you make this list, and have that list available so that you can use it when you're teaching your children. They come crying to you, they need comfort. Use that list. You find some of the ways in which God comforts. Go to one of those stories and say, do you remember this story of how God comforted them, how God met their needs? Listen, if God did it for them, God can do it for you. Use it for comfort. Use it for strength when they're weary. They just say, oh, I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I have the energy. And you show them one of those principles from the Scriptures where God did mighty things and He helped someone who was weak and didn't have the strength and didn't have the ability, but God helped them through it and God did it and He'll do it for you. And so we can use it for that. And use it for cheer when they're down. You know, sometimes just the principles of see what great things God did. See how encouraging that is. We can trust God. We don't have to be sad. God's in control of these things. And show them principles from that. And then how that God can encourage us when we're defeated or we're discouraged. And you look at times, the story of Elijah when he ran away from Jezebel. And he was hiding from Jezebel, and he's, oh God, why don't you just take my life? Everything's bad, God, I can't handle it anymore. And what did God do? God met his needs. God spoke to him through a still small voice. God got him back active. God got him back into action, sent him back to work again. God met his needs. Principles. God didn't give up on Elijah just because Elijah got depressed. God helped him to get over it, and God got him back going again. And the way to get over our depression is to get out of our pity party back into action for God and to do what God wants us to do. And he did it. So all of these stories can be helpful and use them in a regular way. But most of all, always remember, we're to praise God through his mighty acts. So every one of those stories, you emphasize what God did, his greatness, his mighty acts. Look what God is awesome. See the great things God did. God needs to be praised. And so tonight, as we bow our heads, kids, let's pray and thank God for his greatness, that how he helped Daniel over the lion's den, or how he helped the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the den, or in the fire, or whatever the situation. Praise God for the great, mighty acts that he did. Now, these are just give a few ideas. You can take this and run with it. There's all kinds of things you can do with that, but that can be a help to us, not only in training our children, but in our own lives. You know, when I get discouraged, I need to remember to go back to the great and mighty acts of God. One of the things that I've done over the years, you know, sometimes the devil, he's so cunning. He starts making you feel like, oh, you know, maybe this is all crazy. Maybe Christianity is just nuts. Maybe the world is right, you know. And then I think, no, that can't possibly be right. The evolution, just, it doesn't make any sense at all. There has to be a creator. And if there's a creator, there's a God. And if there's a God, I got to answer him to someday. He is real. He's alive. He's real. And it can encourage you and cheer you and get you back in line and keep you focused and don't let the devil get you down. So these are things that you can take with you, and I encourage you to do that. And look for the mighty acts of God. So tonight we've talked about two. God is great, and God is mighty. Let's emphasize it in our own heart. Let's emphasize it to our children. Let's emphasize it to the world around us. We've got a great and a mighty God.